This evening's reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Thanks, Olivia, for reading that to us. I'm sure this passage is familiar to you. You've seen perhaps in the NIV, it's headed the armour of God. But just because this passage is familiar to us doesn't mean we can grow out of our need to heed it. If we're on the Lord's side, friends, we're soldiers in a battle. So let's allow this passage to refresh our minds and our souls about the battle in which we are involved. First thing I notice is that it's a command. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong is a command. It's not an optional extra. This means that to be strong is possible. God wouldn't have commanded it if it were impossible, would he? And before we finish tonight, let's explore how we can be strong. But for now, let's notice we're told to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Christians are in Christ. That's united to him. The source of our strength in 2017 and any future days is in the Lord himself. So we do not need to search around to discover some new source of strength for the new year. It is here in the Lord himself. None of us can strengthen ourselves, but the Lord is sufficient. He has mighty power. But it might help us to be clear why we need to be strong, why we need to put on the full armour of God, as verse 11 says. So I think we should know our enemy. There are some errors that you might have heard or might hear. Here's one. The idea of a devil is primitive and outdated. So it's time to accept that there is no devil, there's no enemy. Well, to think that is an error that we should avoid. Here's another possible error. There are two roughly equal powers, good and evil, or God and the devil. They battle it out without either one of them ever securing victory. Sometimes one will seem to have the upper hand, sometimes the other. Friends, that is another error to be avoided, because God has completely overcome the devil. Here's another error. The resurrection of Jesus means that the devil can't influence Christians. The devil used to be active, this says, but now, because of the victory of Jesus, he can't bother Christians. Oh, friends, this is a dangerous error. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, we're told, seeking someone to devour. It's dangerous to deny that. The devil can't strike any fatal blow at us, but he can trouble us. Don't get bored, but I have just one more error to mention that we should avoid. The devil's resources are stronger than our protection and weapons. So we're left in this new year defenseless and exposed. We're bound to be defeated. Well, that, friends, is another error. It's an insult to the power of God. If those are errors, it's very important for us to see what we can learn about the devil from this passage. Because if we're ignorant about the enemy, it isn't because God hasn't warned us. The truth about the devil is here in Scripture. It's not a pleasant, soothing topic, but there's no avoiding it if we're to understand the true nature of the battle that we're in and to be ready for it. I'm going to read to you verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The Authorized Version says the wiles of the devil. Here is the devil's strategy. He schemes to bring us down, and he is subtle, he is crafty. He has lots of ways to deceive us. He never gives up. And Jesus said of the devil, he is a liar and a father of lies. Then there's verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is how J.B. Phillips put it. We're up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. That is what we're up against. Sometimes people may oppose us or tell lies about us or ignore us. But the real opposition is not those people, but the evil spiritual powers beyond or behind them. The evil spiritual powers that influence and direct people. So the nature of our battle is often a spiritual one. Verse 13. Therefore put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. A day when evil is concentrated and maybe focused on us, when we feel everything is coming against us, trouble at home, trouble at work, trouble with health, trouble with money, trouble with relatives, with neighbours, even with others in the church, and maybe trouble with our faith, our praying or our conscience. And you feel like singing, some of you will know that old hymn, oft in danger, oft in woe. And a day of evil may not just be 24 hours, may last days or weeks. I haven't finished yet about what the devil is and what he's up to. Verse 16 has the phrase, all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Oh, they come in various shapes and sizes. Some are targeted at our trust in God and are designed to poison our relationship with him, and perhaps to make us accuse him of failing us. These flaming darts can be temptations. Their purpose can be to multiply doubts about whether God hears and answers prayer, whether he cares and loves me anymore or ever did. Oh, this is not the Bible speaking to you when you feel that. It's the devil getting at you. He sends these arrows in the hope that he can distract us from continuing to follow Jesus. He may make us become bitter towards him and even his people. His aim, really, is that we should renounce our faith. So remember these truths about the devil. He's a strong enemy, gunning for us in a fierce battle. For sure, we need all the armor and weapons possible. Put on the full armor of God. So let's examine the instructions we're given in this passage about the full armor of God. The full armor of God is used in verse 11 and 13. To have some of it might be better than nothing, but a wise soldier takes all the protection going. A soldier who forgets to put some of the protective clothing on is negligent and more vulnerable than they need to be. So are we if we do that. All the items are indispensable. They're not literal pieces of clothing, of course, but nevertheless they're very real, and there are six of them. First, the belt of truth in verse 14. This belt holds us together. Without it, we fall apart. There should be truth in our words, our actions, everything about us. Our conscience is often a good guide, but it can become warped. The same applies to our reasoning capacities. But truth is reliably in Christ, the Word of God, who became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and in Scripture, the written Word of God. Friends, our Lord is altogether truthful. Everything revealed in his word is truthful, so it should be with us. How does the truth protect us? Well, it forms a sound basis for relationships. It can build up families and the church. When you get to know someone who habitually tells the truth, it's wonderful. It brings freedom. We're not struggling to distinguish occasions when the truth is being spoken from times when lies are being spoken. Rather, we're subconsciously taking it for granted that truth is being spoken. It's one of the lovely privileges of the Christian community, maybe less common in broader society. So what a blot when lies or dishonesty are found amongst Christians. It damages trust, opens us to justified criticism. But the truth is powerful. It's a great treasure. It liberates and protects. Truth and honesty can be the basis of our relationship with God. We even know that following confession and repentance, there is fresh forgiveness. And we need not fear the allegations of the devil. We have a clear conscience before God. If we're economical with the truth or hiding something from God, then the devil has a way in. With truth, we can stand firm. Verse 14 also says we are to have the breastplate of righteousness. A kind of flak jacket or bulletproof vest. What is it? Righteousness. We might immediately think of the righteousness of Christ, which is given to us, and that is fine. But there's much more to it than that. It refers to the right living we have to attend to, so that our behaviour is above reproach, so that no one can point a finger at us. There must be consistency between what we profess with our words and how we live. For example, think of purity, honesty, generosity. Think also of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our emotions must not run away with us. Right living shows what we have set our heart on. If our heart is set on right living, there will be confidence with humility, and it'll be part of our protection. Third, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Oh, we have peace with God because we're now reconciled to him. We have the peace of God in our hearts and lives, great gift. And surely we seek to live at peace with everyone. And do we seek to be peacemakers? In our walk, we seek to take the gospel of peace to others. And are we ready to speak the gospel of peace? Are we standing firm with this protection? What have we had so far? Truth, righteousness, peace. Great words. Stand your ground, always be on guard with this armor, this shield of faith. This is a large shield for maximum protection. When those flaming arrows are coming, faith can extinguish them. Faith in God, that is. Without it, these darts may get through and injure us, perhaps making us bitter or resentful, materialistic, inclined to give up and run away, because these darts are on fire, and you know how quickly fire spreads. The only adequate defense is faith, reliance, that is, on Almighty God. We haven't finished yet. Take the helmet of salvation. Helmet protects the head, doesn't it? Without one's head, there's no life. What is this helmet? It's the helmet of salvation. Paul has already explained in this letter that salvation can only be received by faith, not by works. There can, of course, be a first time when we receive this gift, but we are told to go on taking this helmet. We never outgrow it. This salvation is comprehensive. We're saved from past sin. We need to be saved in the present, and we shall be saved in the future. We can never do without the helmet of salvation. Take it, put it on. Every morning, you're saved by God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God inspired these scriptures. They're altogether reliable and trustworthy. And the Spirit of God still teaches and speaks and equips through them. If we're going to use the Bible correctly, it takes time and practice. We need to take it, read it, understand it, remember it, live by it. It's a sword, a weapon to be properly used. It's not for wild, indiscriminate thrashing around. It's not a toy. It's too sharp to be used in fun. Sometimes it has a cutting effect. Sometimes it judges our thoughts and actions. We need to let it do its work in us, as well as letting it work in others. And all this armor, all these weapons, are to be used in the context of prayer, which is what we have in verses 18 to 20. One of the things I think we could usefully talk about together even before you go to sleep tonight, how do we put on the full armour of God? It's one thing to have them listed and to read them here, but how do I actually have them, possess them, put them on in the coming year? And what if, as we look at this passage of Scripture, the Spirit of God examines us this evening and we are found wanting? What if we realise, well, I've been slack in putting on the full armour of God? That's at least partly why I've been exposed and fallen. Friends, this table reminds us. It points to the truth that out of wonderful love for us, Jesus went to the cross, making our salvation possible. In coming to this table again, taking bread, taking and drinking from the cup, we remember the Lord who died for us. In a way, it's taking once again the helmet of salvation. As sometimes we sing, "In Christ alone, my hope is found." In coming to this table, let the Lord remind us that all our sins of the past are forgiven. Let us not take guilt from last year into the new year. Don't come to the cross and ask for the burden to be lifted, then carry it away again. Oh, you may have consequences to live through and work through, but the Lord wants us to be forgiven for our sins in the last year. Affirm Him as your security for 2017.